Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at wetlands on the show today with our guest, Katie Belfus of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. She's got some really cool things to talk about with us today, and I'm looking forward to visiting with her. Just as I'm always looking forward to a visit with Jill Nadeau, my co-host for today during our fall member drive. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
You, as you listen in here, count on the Ideas Network for great talks, and it's your gift, any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support, it's the largest source of our funding for our programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important. And Jill, there's kind of a special day today. What's going on?
It's kind of unusual for when we do our drives. Today is the start of a special two-day challenge. A group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting WPR programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin, for that matter.
Absolutely. And you know, your participation, it's vital right now. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before end of day tomorrow. And it starts with your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We're committed to quality here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of our funding for our shows, that quality is possible thanks to you.
It certainly is. Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR. So make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we're listener supported. Well, we certainly are. We've been talking about that now for the last couple of days. It's the largest source of funding for our programs, and it comes from you, listeners.
That's right. 2 days or so, Larry? I don't know. I can't remember. It's all a blur. Or maybe, you know, you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. Well, you're still listening, so now's the perfect time to support the program that you rely on. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What kinds of things do you spend a dollar a day on?
My gym membership, I definitely spend probably more than a dollar a day on.
The bus.
Easily gum.
Spinach.
I spend a buck or two on a delicious treat every day, though I do share it with a friend often.
It's easy to spend a dollar a day, or even more, on things that are part of your daily routine. What about Wisconsin Public Radio? Every day you get information and news that helps you understand the world. You also hear music that lifts your spirits and entertainment that makes you smile. So invest a dollar a day in Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I don't think Rob actually shares that dollar treat that he gets.
I've never gotten anything from him.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Well, here's a treat of information for you. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation during our fall drive. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. The programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support and your contribution. $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
It certainly does. You know, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now, it's a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, and how much you'd like to give and how you'd like to pay.
I added a contribution yesterday, and it only took me a couple of minutes. Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So, Larry, you add every pledge drive. You must be up to, what, $1,000 a month now?
I talk myself into it every single drive.
Every single time.
I'm getting two pairs of socks because
of it. Well, that's exciting, Larry. Our member challenge is still in effect, so don't forget that when 500 people make a gift to WPR, that $25,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs that you rely on.
Support the independent journalism and rich entertainment when you make a gift of $15 a month for WPR, and we'll send you some of those socks. Not mine. I've already gotten mine. But,
what do they look like, Larry?
Well, they're navy and gold, and they're an Argyle design. Won't I look good in golf shorts playing with those? I tell you what, they're fun. They really are a lot of fun. And, hey, take the step today. Give $15 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and we'll send you a pair.
And don't forget, it's a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. There are ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. I know I was just talking to our guest, Larry, and she said she's a sustainer, so yay, Katie. So get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. David in Belleville says, thank you for all the hard work I know it must take to make each of these wonderful daily programs. And Melissa in Westboro says, we love listening to WPR every morning to get our day started.
We are listener supported, and that means that your gift is very powerful. It really makes a difference. So I hope you'll go right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks very much if you've done it. If you haven't, do it right now as we visit with our guest today, Katie Belfus. Wetlands, I've been told, cover about 15% of Wisconsin.
They do now. They didn't before. They used to cover twice as much of our acreage. We've lost half of our wetlands in Wisconsin, which is pretty remarkable. And the other thing that surprises people is that we have more acres of wetlands than we have acres of lakes in Wisconsin.
Oh, that one I didn't know.
And those wetlands are part of the reason we have such beautiful, wonderful lakes for hunting and fishing and swimming, because the wetlands help keep them clean and clear.
Katie Belfus giving us that information. She's the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. If you have questions about wetlands or want to learn more about them, or maybe about something about a wetland in your area, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or shoot us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Katie, you know, you've been a guest many times, but I think it's always worth repeating when we think about the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, what's its mission and that sort of thing.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, the Wisconsin Wetlands Association is a statewide, science-based, nonprofit, nonpartisan conservation organization. And we work to help people and communities care for wetlands. Whether you're a private landowner who owns wetlands and have questions about how you can care for or restore those wetlands, or your community that's struggling with maybe flooding challenges or water quality problems, we work with those communities to help bring the wetland peace to the solutions that they're seeking to the challenges they're facing.
And you have resources for folks who are interested.
Indeed, we do. We have a whole set of pages on our website for landowners in particular that has information about publications you can find, websites that are helpful, workshops that you can attend, lots of different ways that you can connect with the information that you need to know as a landowner. And if you're just a person who loves wetlands or wants to learn more, we have a lot of great information on our website for you as well about what wetlands are and why they matter.
Let's talk a bit more about how wetlands help wildlife and the rest of people.
Sure. Well, the wildlife is the thing that most often comes to mind because people hear that there's ducks or other water birds or fish or things that they care about that live in wetlands. And we've heard a statistic that 75% of the wildlife in Wisconsin relies on wetlands for some part of their life cycle. So they might not live in wetlands all the time, but maybe they need it for their reproduction or when their babies are young. That's the nursery area. So that's really great for wildlife, very important for wildlife. But we are trying to also remind folks how important wetlands are for helping with flood abatement, holding on to and slowing down water from precipitation events so that water enters our streams and lakes and rivers more slowly. When water moves fast, it carves away. And that's where we end up with erosional problems and sedimentation downstream. So the wetlands are really there to help slow the water down, to slow the flow of precipitation across the landscape so that it can soak into the ground and seep in more over time into our lakes, rivers, and streams. And then we haven't even talked about carbon storage. We haven't talked about clean water. There's lots of other ways that wetlands are helping people and helping us adapt to the new realities that are coming our way with climate change.
Yeah, I just saw a piece in the paper about how somebody was talking about how wetlands help us with slowing climate change.
Yeah, well, wetlands are a hugely important carbon sinks. They are areas where they store a lot of carbon. So the wetlands that we have on the landscape have been accumulating carbon for a very long time. They continue, when they're healthy, to sequester carbon, right, to pull carbon out of our air through the plants that uptake the carbon. When those plants die or break down, they don't often break down when they hit the water because wet things don't oxidize. You know, there's not oxidation happening underwater. So often that biomass from the vegetation just accumulates underground, and that's what turns into the great carbon deposits. Sometimes it's peat. Sometimes it's other organic soils. And so that's one way that they are continuing to sequester. When we drain wetlands, then that soil is the carbon deposits in there become dry, and therefore they can oxidize and they can release that carbon. And so we have to think about, where are we taking carbon that we have stored, that the earth has stored for us, and letting it out in unintentional ways that we might be able to repair?
You know, and I think about, well, I think when most people think about wetlands, there's a sort of one type of vision that comes into their head of grasses and maybe cattails and a bit of water. But there are actually, 10 or 12 different types of wetlands?
Well, you're exactly right, and thank you for bringing that up. And the number of wetlands, different types of wetlands we have in Wisconsin depends a little bit on who you ask, because, of course, wetland classification is a human thing. Nature doesn't classify itself. We want to be able to identify the different kinds of things, because if you're protecting wetlands, you want to make sure you save all the different kinds, right? So we tend to talk about 12 types of wetlands, because that's a manageable number and covers sort of the big groups. Other groups that are doing more fine-tuned work might break that down into a larger number of wetland types because they have a different goal. But our goal is to help folks see the different varieties. So we have wetlands with trees in them, wooded swamps. We have wetlands with a lot of shrubs. We call those alder thickets or shrub car. There's wetlands that, to most people, to me maybe even, they look like prairies. You don't see the water, but if you walked across there in the right time of year, you'd sure get wet feet. So there's lots of different kinds of wetlands, and we spend a lot of time helping people see that and find those areas on the landscape. We have a fun program. We designated 100 sites about a decade ago now that across the state of Wisconsin represent collectively all the different kinds of wetlands we have. Of course, different parts of our state have different kinds of wetlands because of the underlying geology and climate and whatnot. So you're not going to see the same kind of wetlands in all parts of the state. So these wetland gems, we call them, are 100 places around the state of Wisconsin where, if you're curious about what a shrub car looks like or what a swamp thicket looks like, we can help you connect with those places, and most, the vast majority of them are publicly owned and accessible to anybody.
So you have that information. Is that part of a little pamphlet, or is it online that people can just
go? We did produce a book once upon a time when PDFs were the high technology, but now recently we've actually created a story map, an ArcGIS story map that allows folks online to hop on and look at a map of Wisconsin and zoom in and travel around on the map and then learn more about each of these sites. So it's a nice tool. We do still have the PDFs available, but I like to carry those around when I'm on vacation so that I can make sure I check them out. I stick them in my gazetteer. But the story map is a great way to explore those wetland gems.
Katie Belfis, our guest today, the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. I hope you join in with your questions at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. I just wanted to bring that up because Jill Nadeau's come waltzing back into the microphone here and reminding me to tell you that listener contributions are the largest source of funding at WPR, and your gift keeps the programs you value, including the Larry Mueller Show, on the air. So I hope you'll make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, I barely made it, Larry, because I was looking up those wetland maps, so I was getting a little involved. That's a pretty cool device there. And you know what? Today, make an even greater impact when you give right now, because $25,000 will be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by end of day tomorrow.
Yeah, a group of generous donors have created this challenge, and they've done it to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on.
Absolutely. And let's meet this challenge. You know, your gift of any amount now, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jill and I have actually have a lot of fun during drives
in
so many ways. You know, they're a time to celebrate our program and all the programs that you might value on Wisconsin Public Radio along with this one. You tune in for the quality you've come to expect, and now we're asking you to support your values with a donation.
We are, and this fall member drive is your chance to participate in the quality that you enjoy, because listener support is the foundation of WPR programs. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We started at zero, of course, with the number of sustainers, and now we have more than 26,000 WPR members as sustainers. And that means they make ongoing monthly gifts to Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can, too, provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs that you care about. So become a sustainer now. Make it easy on yourself. Choose any amount, $10 or $20 a month. Set it up to be ongoing. It's easy to do at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Fall is in the air. It's time to swap out the sandals and flip-flops for shoes and socks. This member drive, we have you and your feet covered.
I love the WPR socks, and they're cozy on your toes.
Headphones, microphones, the state of Wisconsin, and if that weren't enough, we've got our name on them, too.
You're going to want to make sure you have kind of short cuffs on your pants to show off these socks. And maybe you don't want to wear shoes because they're that good-looking, and you want people to see them.
Literally, they're awesome.
Ask for your pair of WPR socks when you give $15 a month. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Jill, you know, I think with those socks, we ought to set up we could have a party.
Sure.
Where you and I will supply the first drink or two.
But how many people are you going to invite, Larry?
Well, whoever's only the ones that are wearing the WPR socks.
Oh, I like that.
It's a sock kind of thing.
It's a sock hop.
We'll call it the WPR Sock Hop.
Okay, let's go.
I like that.
Let's pick a date.
Let's have some fun with that. You know, we're having some fun here during this drive. Listener support, you know it. It's the biggest source of funding for the shows you rely on. And that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, $200 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really has an important impact.
It really does. And we kid around, but it's so important to what we do and what you listen to. And today is the start of a special two-day challenge. So a group of very generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, including you, we hope, step up to support the programs that you count on.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Your participation, well, it's just vital. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before end of day tomorrow. But that doesn't mean you can't give right now. We would appreciate it. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might spend $20 going out for a drink or dinner, maybe even every single weekend you do that. In the greater scheme of things, $20 isn't a big expense, especially if it's just once a month or so.
Yeah, it's really kind of hard to spend just $20 going out for dinner or drinks because it's expensive. And that's why we ask you to give $20 a month for your WPR listening. And on its own, it probably doesn't feel like much, but when you give it monthly, it really adds up to the programs that keep you informed and inspired every day. So make your gift now, $20 a month. Or you know what? You choose the amount that's right for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much for that. Maybe today's the day you increase your support of WPR, $5 or $10 a month, or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Joseph in New Auburn says, I especially enjoy Larry Mueller. And Pat in New Lisbon says, I enjoy Larry Mueller's informative and often humorous information about bugs, birds, plants, and other life in Wisconsin.
I like that. Pat, thank you. And Joseph, thank you. What about you? Your gift is so important. I hope you'll do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contributions. And thank you. Talking about Wisconsin wetlands today with Katie Belfus, who's the Outreach Programs Director of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Her association does so much to preserve, protect, enhance our wildlife and our wetlands here in the state of Wisconsin. If you have questions for her, I hope you'll join in. You can call right now. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Katie, Matt in Rudolph called. He couldn't stay with us, but he wants to build a wetland on his property and wondering about resources that might be available to him, either financial or educational.
Great question. Thanks for that, Matt. Appreciate it. And the first thing to do is understand what was on your landscape previously, historically. And we have a lot of resources on our website that can help you with that. The reason I start there is the restoring wetlands works well in a place where a wetland used to be. But if you're trying to put a wetland in a place where it didn't used to be, you probably aren't going to have the conditions you want to make that easy. Like maybe you could get something growing in there that could simulate a wetland, but it might not have all the things that you're interested in having. And you're going to have the most success if you're restoring wetlands or building wetlands, as you say, in an area where wetlands occurred historically. So there's a lot of places where you can see old historical aerial photos, or even you can find these fascinating notes and maps from the original land surveyors who came through Wisconsin. And they're all handwritten. They've been digitized now, so you can read it. But boy, you have to get a degree to read that handwriting because their script was so beautiful back then. But there's a ton of information in those notes because they had to write down as they walked across the landscape and marked our township brains and sections. They made notes about what was happening at that time. And so that's our oldest record, written record of those things. So getting back to Matt and his desire to restore a wetland, we have a wetland restoration handbook. We also have a handbook for wetland owners that doesn't go into the nitty-gritty quite as much, but goes through some of the steps that you need to think about as you plan. And yes, there are resources, depending on the nature of your project. There are some landowner support programs that can help fund some of that work, because sometimes there's land, dirt that needs to get moved, or we always focus on restoring the hydrology of an area before you do any sort of planting or seeding to make sure that's healthy.
Yeah, and there are probably some areas where, agricultural land, for example, where the land might have been tiled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of landscape here in Wisconsin where drain tiles were installed under the soil to help drain water off of areas that folks wanted to farm. Sometimes those areas get to be a real pain to farm. I've talked to a bunch of farmers who are like, this is more work than it's worth. I'd rather spend my time and resources getting better crops off these other lands. What can I do with these areas where I get my truck stuck every single year, every single spring? And so that is one of the great opportunities for wetland restoration, and there's lots of great developed techniques to help you do that and some funding to help support that as well.
So there's ways to get around that tile, or?
You can get in and break it or pull it out, depending on what the tile was made of. You know, the earliest tile, I actually talked with a landowner who'd restored one of a wetland on his land that had been farmed previously. He found 5 layers of tile in his land, in certain parts of his field. And the shallowest one was, ironically, the earliest one that was installed. And it was made of handmade clay tile. They could see the fingerprints in the clay on this tile. And then as you dug deeper into the ground, each layer was a little bit newer. Because, of course, as you want to drain more, you have to go deeper into the land. And so by now, there's corrugated plastic tubing that has holes in it, and that helps drain that area off. So he had 5 layers of that, but you can pull those out. You can break up the clay tiles, or you can pull out the plastic ones, and that's an important step to getting the hydrology restored.
I want to go back a minute to Matt's question too, or comment about wanting to build a wetland, and you talking about the notes. And I thought, man, if I had some property, what a great way to learn more and become more connected to your property than actually going through those.
Absolutely. And we hear that from landowners all the time, that process of discovery makes them so much more appreciative of what they have, and it makes their work more successful. You know, you don't want to be Sisyphus pushing that rock up the hill, right? We're just battling an invasive species or whatever it is that's causing you angst. That's a symptom often of bigger underlying problems. We talk about hydrology. If the water is not flowing the way that it did historically, if it's pooling up in ways that it didn't used to, or it's being drained off in ways that it didn't used to, then it's the system is sick, right? And so our job is to go in and say, what can I do to fix the underlying health of the system? And then a lot of those problems, I'm not saying invasive species are easy to control, because that is certainly not true. It takes a lot of effort, but it's more successful when you can get the underlying conditions straightened out before you put in all that effort.
Katie Balfus, our guest. Questions or comments as we talk wetlands with her? I hope you'll join in. Do you have a wetland in your property? Maybe interested in putting one in? Maybe why are wetlands important to you? Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Thinking about Matt again from Randolph, would he be somebody who might be interested in this webinar series? You have a webinar series, right?
We do. Thanks for bringing that up. That webinar series we call the Wetland Coffee Break. And we started that when the pandemic shut us all down, and we wanted to keep in touch with all of our friends and supporters and wetland lovers out there. And gosh, it's been so well received that we're just continuing. And so that happens about every other Friday in the morning. It's a virtual session, so you can join from wherever. It's free. We do love it with people love that program and want to become a member. We certainly invite that, but we invite everybody who wants to learn more about wetlands to come. And we cover a wide variety of topics on there, and we also record all of them. And so the last 2 years, 2.5 years of those sessions, we have posted on our website and on our Facebook page, so folks can check back in there. I know we did some excellent sessions last year about invasive species control, so if folks are interested in those topics, we have a searchable like a spreadsheet of past shows, so that you can find the one that might interest you. But the next one coming up is next week, October 7th. We'll be talking about aquatic macroinvertebrates.
Ooh, like what?
Well, that's why I want to go, because I want to learn. I don't really know anything about these things. I know that they're super important for fish and for birds and for other animals that rely on them, and that they can be, canaries in a coal mine, so to speak, of water quality challenges, because a lot of those invertebrates are the first things to be challenged when the water quality goes down. So we'll have Mike Miller from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources on to tell me, and maybe you, all about aquatic macroinvertebrates in wetlands.
And so what do you do? Type in Wisconsin Wetlands Association into your search engine?
You can do that. You can type in Wetland Coffee Break. WisconsinWetlands.org is our website. And right front and center on the front page there, you'll see the Wetland Coffee Break. And if you scroll a little bit down, you'll see a link to the Swamp Stakes, which is our special sweepstakes with a wetland twist. Of course, we can't call it a sweepstakes if we're the Wetlands Association. We call it the Swamp Stakes. So that is, we have a fabulous restored 1941 wood canvas Old Town canoe that is hands down the most beautiful canoe I have ever seen.
Oh.
And one of our board members, who is a wooden boat restorer, restore this gorgeous thing. I don't think it would floated before he got to it, but it is gorgeous now. So we have a Swamp Stakes, and folks can enter that in a variety of different ways to try to get their name in the hat to win this beautiful canoe. And we have a number of other prizes as well. That's not the only one.
So how do you get, so you maybe throw a few dollars in, or do you, or is it volunteering, or is it?
There's a bunch of different ways to do it. Become a member, renew your membership, become a sustainer. We don't call them sustainers at Wisconsin Wetlands Association. We call them wetland gems because you give every month. And so there's lots of different ways to do it. And of course, there's always the postcard way where you send us a postcard and say you'd like to be entered, and we'll do that too.
Katie
but the
Belfort.
More you do, the more chances you have to win.
I like that. That's a great approach. I love that approach. Jill Nadeau, what do you think?
Oh, it is absolutely gorgeous, Larry. I just looked it up. It's beautiful. Oh, my gosh. I want this. I don't know where I would put it. It's bigger than my car. But
that's why it goes on top of your car.
You haven't seen my car. Okay. I don't have much of a roof either.
Oh, man. You can join in, too. Number to call 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. And Jill, you know, we probably should say something about our fall member drive. I don't know if we're how we're doing here, but our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this wetlands program with Katie Belfus, who's been doing it with us for how many years? Been a while.
It's been a while. It's going to be like 15 years, something like that.
Sure, yeah. Longer than I've been here, I know that. So
here's somebody who's been contributing her time and talents to the show for 15 years, and their support really is important.
It certainly is. And Larry, I have really good news. We went from having 78 people to 91 since the last break that we took. So obviously,
we're moving.
Our wonderful listeners are so amazing. We just ask them and they just give. And it's fantastic. And thank you. Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate it. And just if you've just tuned in, a group of generous members have come together to create a challenge to inspire you to support WPR over the next 2 days. When 500 people give, WPR will secure an additional $25,000.
Good news. I'll tell you what, your gift right now is going to really, really help. Donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Absolutely. And you know, we were just talking about wetlands, Larry. We've talked to Katie quite often about it because it's so important and you learn so much. And all this you learn, it's because WPR is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. It takes a few minutes. Make your gift.
Maybe it's a buck a day. It's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, your coffee. You couldn't even get a cup of coffee anymore for a dollar. Your favorite snack, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, soda here at WPR is up $2.25, Larry, as you know, because I borrowed money from you the other day. Well, consider that the news, information, and inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR, just make it a dollar a day, or maybe it's $30 a month. It's just the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs that you enjoy every day.
I'm Jane from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustaining member and a plan giver. I love Wisconsin Public Radio. As a matter of fact, I can't imagine my life without it. When I get up in the morning, Wisconsin Public Radio keeps me company while I get ready for the day. When I'm in the kitchen making a meal, Wisconsin Public Radio is always on, and I cannot imagine a weekend without the entertainment of Wisconsin Public Radio. Being a sustaining member has simplified my life because every time the fund drives would come on, I would think, oh my goodness, I have to get out my checkbook. Now I breathe easy knowing that I'm already a supporter. I would encourage you to consider doing the same for something that is such a vital resource for our community.
Oh, thanks so much. That was a great comment and inspired me, although I gave yesterday again.
How many socks do you need, Larry?
Tell you what, you can get some socks, or even without the socks, you can be a supporter of these programs. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. It's our fall member drive, and you make the programs you rely on possible, and your gift, it could be 10 or 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And you know, those socks would make great gifts come holidays. So something to think about, Larry. Support the programs that you love right now when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And then take another great step. Check with your company's community relations team to see if they'll match your gift.
Actually, many corporations match their employee donations, even if they're retired.
That's
so
right.
If you're retired, mm-hmm. you still check with your corporation. And thanks a lot if you do that for that next extra step for the programs you care about. After you've made your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our member challenge is still in effect. When 500 people make a gift for WPR, $25,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs that you rely on.
They will indeed.
Yes, they will, Larry. And you know what? That helps to support independent journalism.
It certainly does. Tell you what. A gift of $15 a month for WPR will get you those new socks.
That's right.
Navy and gold socks. They're Argyle design that celebrate the variety you get access to on WPR every day. So take the step. Join Larry and Jill and we'll get you to that party of socks only, WPR socks only party, when you give $15 a month at WPR.org at 888-202-2552.
Oh, Sadie in Cottage, I thought you were done, Larry. Sorry. Sadie in Cottage Grove says, I always get so much more than what I pay for when I donate to WPR. And Tyson in Waukesha says, I'm lucky to be able to listen to the Larry Mueller Show on my work lunch break, and it always gives me great ideas.
Well, here's an idea for you as you're listening in. Go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Katie Belfus, Outreach Programs Director at the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Questions, I hope you'll give a call. We have a couple. Eric and Tim are online with questions. What about you? If you have one, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or you could be like Bruce and email us to ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to Eric in Madison. Eric, thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. I live on Spring Lake up in Partyville below a dam. As I said, there's a lot of springs on that lake. I got about 100 footage of wetland with a spring on it. There seems to be a fluctuation in water level, and it seems like part of it's on a bog. But I've noticed lately there's some purple loose stripe in there and some vines. And I've been told that the purple loose stripe is invasive, and I was taking the seed heads off. I didn't get them all because it was so hard to get in there, but I got quite a few of them. What is the best way to keep that loose stripe from spreading, and what do you do about the vines?
Thanks for that question, Eric. Purple loosestrife, you know, it's one of those exotic invasive species that's really beautiful, which is partly why it gets spread around and because it makes a lot of seed. So thank you for de-seeding or taking the heads off of the plants that you were able to reach. That is a good strategy for limiting the number of seeds that fall in your wetland, at least. And I have noticed that it's been a particularly good year for purple loosestrife. I've seen it all over the place. Yeah. We drove out to Maine for a vacation this summer, and it was all the way there and back.
Fields.
The good news news about Purple Loosestrife is that they have a lot of very smart people, did a lot of very detailed work, and identified an insect that is the eats these plants in their home territory over in Europe and Asia. And they did a ton of testing to make sure that that's the only thing those insects eat, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to cause a bigger problem by releasing something that was then going to, you know, make the problem even worse. But they did a lot of good testing, and these little weevils are specific to this species. And so there's been programs across the state to release these little beetles to go out and eat the loosestrife, and that's been very successful. Sometimes if we have particularly cold years or the conditions are right one year that those loosestrife beetles don't do very well, then the following year it could be that that's why you see a lot more loosestrife. I honestly don't know, and I should know, and I need to check in on that. But there is a program through the DNR and Extension to talk about purple loosestrife. And if you want to shoot me an email, I'll get you connected up with that if you don't find it with a Google search of your own. But that's my talk about purple loosestrife.
Yeah. So what about he was talking about a vine. Do you know the vine, Eric, by any chance?
No, but it's right in there with it. And I was told there's some correlation. If you remove the loosestrife, you get more vines.
Yeah, interesting. And there's some vines that have, it sort of looks like they're going to be taking over the whole thing, and you freak out a little bit. And then sometimes they just have to go through their cycle. And I know there's been some years recently where with moonvine or something, I'm trying to remember the name of it, was really abundant. And dodder is another thing that people see in wetlands sometimes, that orange. It looks kind of like a vine, but it doesn't really have weeds. I think it's not actually, it's something. I should know. I just call it dodder, and I know that it's something that comes and goes, and you don't have to worry too much about it. It ebbs and flows.
And those insects, though, is it possible? Could Eric order insects?
That's why I want to connect him with the folks that know. I know there have been programs. That group in the past has done programs with schools where the schools raise the beetles and then help release them into areas. And so I don't know. We need to just figure out what they're up to right now and whether there's a possibility that Eric could get in on that.
So, Eric, shoot a note. You just go to the Wisconsin Wetlands Association website, and there's contact information there for Katie, and just shoot her a note, and she will get back to you pronto, I'm pretty sure.
He said something interesting about water level fluctuations, so if I could just chat for quick about
ahead.
That. He also said he's below a dam, and so he doesn't necessarily have control over those water levels, nor does Mother Nature, right, if there's a dam there. But I wanted to just let people know that fluctuating water levels is one of the really important things for lots of wetlands. And when water levels are stabilized for whatever reason, usually it's a dam or some other water control structure, that can cause a lot of problems for those wetlands. And so fluctuating water levels is normal in wetlands and is part of what makes them so unique and dynamic.
Yeah. Eric, good luck with it. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's take a call from Tim in Kenosha. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like your take on the procedure of trading wetlands, like in a municipality, if they're going to fill in a wetlands, you can apparently trade or create a wetland somewhere else. That just doesn't seem naturally reasonable, but it seems to be done a lot. Anyway, I was just wondering what's your take on that.
Thanks for that question, Tim. And I think that you're talking about mitigation, which is something that happens in the regulatory arena. And I'll say the first step with regulations is to avoid impacts to wetlands for whatever the project might be, development, road building, whatever the impact is. The regulators first work to get folks who are making that plan to avoid impacts to wetlands. And then all second, they work to minimize impacts to wetlands. And the third step, the sort of last step, is if there's no way to avoid or minimize impacts in a certain area, then mitigation does become a possibility. And you're right. It is giving somebody permission to fill a wetland in one area in exchange for providing funding or doing the restoration work in a different area to sort of replace the functions that are being lost by the project. As you point out, Tim, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's better than nothing. If those impacts are going to happen to wetlands, it's better than nothing. But often the restoration happens even in a different watershed, sometimes even in a different part of the state. They work very hard to make the mitigation happen as close by to the impact as possible. But nothing works as well as the wetlands that Mother Nature made. And so the most that we can do to keep those on the landscape, the better. And so mitigation should be a last resort effort.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about when the if it is done, are they taking into account some of the things you were talking about earlier, like where if they're going somewhere different, the history of that area?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes, of course, if the impact is happening in an area that's already heavily developed and there's just not open land left for restoration, then there's not really a lot of choice. And it's better to put wetlands somewhere than to just not have any quote-unquote replacement. There's no replacing wetlands, but it's augmenting and improving wetlands because of an impact somewhere else. But yes, I mean, that's why it's the sort of goal of, it's the last step of the process.
Got to be the last step in the process. Well, we've got a process going on with our fall member drive as well. And Jill Nadeau joining me again to talk with you about your contributions. Your contributions are the largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one on the air. So I hope you'll make a contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you'll make an even greater impact if you give right now, because $25,000 will be released when 500 people, including you, hopefully, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of day tomorrow.
A group of generous members have created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on.
And I just heard from Claire Larry, 97 people have joined. So we keep going up, up, up. We really, really appreciate it. Let's meet this challenge. Your gift of any amount now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here we are. Wetlands are so important to our state and to our nation, for that matter. And we were talking with Katie earlier about all of the good they do for not only our wildlife, but to us in terms of mitigating some of the problems of climate change. So this is a topic that I think is important for you. It's important for me, and it's a benefit to hear Katie talk about it. We're listener supported here, and that means when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And put your best foot forward this member drive and ask for the new WPR socks when you give $15 a month or more. They're Argyle inspired. So for those who don't know, it's that crisscross diamond kind of shape to it. They show a variety of WPR services that you rely on every day. News, information, entertainment, all with a Wisconsin perspective, which is what we're all about. Get your pair today with your gift of $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just like the balanced, thoughtful approach that public radio provides us.
I like to hear the interviews. They're always very topical.
Regardless of the event or the program, it's always top quality.
If you ask me to find some other station, I don't think I could find it. I wouldn't want to do without it.
I just really enjoy it.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. This fall member drive, Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support, and your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
It does. And today is the start of a special two-day challenge. A group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people step up to support the program that you count on.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin. And Jill, I'm noticing that we have three more to go to get over 100.
Oh,
we Well, here, let's do it before the top of the hour.
Absolutely. Show
me support.
We still
got 2 minutes only to go here.
That's nothing. Show me support that our show, we would really appreciate that. Your participation is, it's really vital to what we do. So be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before end of day tomorrow. It starts with your gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is the time, especially this next 2 minutes.
That's
here.
Right.
Let's get us over 100 here. And while you're thinking about it, it's a good time to do it. This takes a couple of minutes. I did it again yesterday, and it took me, I think, about 2 minutes.
And don't put it on your to-do list, because you know what happens when you put it on your to-do list, like me anyway. Just take care of it right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. In just a few minutes, you'll have the good feeling of supporting the programs that you value.
A group of generous members have put this up, this $25,000. It's a challenge. And they said, well, when you get 500 people, we'll fork over $25,000. So I hope you'll step up to support the programs you count on.
Show off your love for Wisconsin and WPR with your new pair of WPR socks. Larry Mueller tested. Ask for yours when you give $15 a month for WPR's essential public service. Like WPR, these navy and gold socks celebrate Wisconsin and the importance of staying informed and connected. Make your gift of $15 a month and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And of course, if you're a sustaining member, making those ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically in, I think, if you have at least $15 a month contribution. So maybe you should increase. Why not increase your support? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Katie Balfus with us after the break. We'll take a quick look at the news and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're Larry Mueller here, by the way. We're talking about the importance of wetlands, and we're taking a look at some upcoming events to learn more about wetlands with our guest, Katie Balfus, the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. What do you want to know about wetlands? What questions do you have? Maybe about some that are near you. Join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Or email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Bruce emailed us with a comment, Katie. He says, wonders about the Wisconsin Wetlands video project. It's headed by Ben Albert, and wondered if you were familiar with it or knew about it.
I do know about that film. I got treated to the trailer a few months ago when Ben Albert reached out to our organization, and we found out that his grandfather is one of our founding members, Cal DeWitt, who taught here at the university for many years and lives on Wabisa Wetlands, just south of Madison here, which is a wetland gem, which we were talking about later. So Ben's making a beautiful film about that beautiful wetland and his grandpa and all the good things that he's done. And I haven't seen the whole thing. I'm very excited to see it. And I hope Ben will call me if it's done so I can get a sneak preview.
Okay. Again, join in 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org with your questions or comments. You've got the... Well, this is down the road a bit, I think, but the annual Wetland Science Conference is coming.
That's coming. February is always when second half of February is when that conference happens every year. This will be our 28th year of that conference. Actually, Cal DeWitt was the founder of that conference, so to come full circle on that one. That one is going to be in Stevens Point this year. We've been virtual the last 2 years, and we're really looking forward to being in person this year, and we'll have lots of great stuff. It's a 2.5-day conference, but we also have a couple of events that happen in association with the conference that are open to the public, so you could either come to the whole thing if you'd like, or you can come and join us for some of the public events that happen as part of that. That's February 21st, 2nd, and 3rd in Stevens Point.
Be kind of a fun time at that time of the year, what else are you going to do?
That's kind of why we have the conference then, because all of the folks who come who have field work all year long couldn't come in a pretty time. And we do run field trips at that conference every single year, and we have hardy folks that go out and visit wetlands in the snow.
I like that. Yeah. Well, sometimes those wetlands are frozen a little bit. You can walk, maybe get around places you couldn't in the summertime.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Number to call again, 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Do you already have speakers and everything all
We are working on that, and we've sent out, we have the call for content. We ask lots of people contribute to this, whether they're delivering presentations or poster presentations or workshops. And so all that stuff is out to the public, and we're recruiting now, and we will be announcing all those speakers later this fall. And I'll probably be giving Jill a call to see if I can get a slot in January to be able to talk that one up.
Well, let's talk with Dan. Andy in Jefferson, I think, has a question or comment. Andy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, a number of years ago, we obtained some land just out the county, just outside Jefferson on the Crawfish River. And we're trying to reestablish the wetlands. A couple of years ago, we had some swales cut in. And what we're trying to find, or what I've been trying to find, is some sedges that might be able to handle the water. I mean, I guess my comparison would be the ridges up in Door County. In their swales, it just has some beautiful sedges that grow. And we were up there a couple weeks ago, and they seem to be standing in water, but it doesn't sound like I've been able to find anybody that says we've got some sedges that can handle water, you know, throughout the year or a couple times a year.
Great question. And there should be sedges that can handle those. And by the way, that Ridges Sanctuary, those swales are among the most glorious things ever. I love that place. If you haven't been, check it out. The Department of Natural Resources hosts a list of native plant and seed dealers in Wisconsin. And so if you haven't reached out to those folks, those would be great sources of that material. And those folks will also know what species are going to be good for what locations. I just put in a rain garden last year in my house, and I found some a species of sedge that worked for my situation. And so talking to those nursery folks, native landscaping nursery folks, would be a great way to get some information about that. There's also a book and there's a book about sedges of the Midwest that goes through each one. It's mostly an identification guide, and I can get you the title of that. The woman's name is Linda, and gosh darn it, I'm forgetting the last name. So sorry about that. But it's a beautiful book, so that'll give you some more information about species of sedges that are here and might also help you in your search.
There you go, Andy. I hope that helps. And again, he goes to the DNR website for that?
Yeah, if you go to the DNR website and use their search bar to type in native seeds or native plants, you should be able to find those dealers.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Again, you can join in 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. I'm going to go back to those 100 sites. Those gem sites, I think they're called. Tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, because we were interested in this being a tool that folks could use to see wetlands of different types all around the state, we used the ecological landscapes of Wisconsin that the DNR has determined based on climate and other factors. And within each of those, we selected some high quality examples that had a floodplain forest or had a sedge meadow, so that collectively within that region, we had examples of all the different kinds of wetland types that you could see in that area of the state. The fact sheet that we have for each one talks about the different wetland communities that you could find there, some of the species that live there, some of the challenges or threats to those areas, and what might be being done about that, and also connects you with information about how you could go visit that place. Like I said, many of those places are state natural areas. Something like 75 of the 100 are also state natural areas, and there's information that you can get from the Department of Natural Resources about those places. So we just wanted to be able to say, hey, look, there are wetlands, high-quality wetlands near you that might look a little different than what you have in your mind. You know, you started off the show at the beginning. Most people think of cattails, open water, and ducks, and that's wetlands. But there's so many more, and it's so fun to discover them.
What's the impact of the... I mean, we've lost, half our wetlands?
We've lost half our wetlands.
What's the impact of that?
It's a huge impact because I think you opened the show talking about wetlands as being kidneys of the landscape, but they provide some really fascinating and really critical services. We talked about the slow the flow and the letting water soak into the ground to influence our groundwater, to replenish our groundwater. So when you take away wetlands, you lose all of those services. And we did a sort of very seat of the pants comparison of impaired waterways in Wisconsin and areas of wetland loss. And it's a pretty good correlation. I haven't done the scientific analysis of it, but mm-hmm. it's a very good, you know, layman's look at the maps correlation. Where we have lost more wetlands, we are seeing more challenges with our waters. The water quality is deteriorated. There might be more flooding. There might be other impacts because we have lost those wetlands. But the good news is we can help restore wetlands and put some of those services and benefits back on the landscape to help our community solve those challenges.
And now we've got this hurricane that's hitting Florida. I remember a hurricane, it was in Texas a while back, that created a huge amount of flooding. And at the time, there had been so much development that all the wetlands were gone.
Right. When you remove wetlands, you don't. It's not, the water still is going to go where the water is going to go. And if you don't have wetlands there to do the services that they do, to slow the flow, to allow infiltration, to clean the water, then you lose those benefits and the conditions go down, right? It's just what happens. We see where you lose wetlands, things fall apart. So we need to strategically put wetlands back on the landscape, the right kinds of wetlands in the right locations in watersheds, to be strategic about it, to restore the services that we've lost back so that we can benefit from them.
Yeah, it was a disaster mm-hmm. in Texas. I remember the flooding and everything was just terrible. Cities across America, of course, are expanding, as we've just talked about. And how do you find that balance between urbanization and the conservation of our wetlands?
That's such an important question and such a hard question. And I think there are communities now that have still opportunities left in their areas where they can strategically say, look, we realize we're going to have to pay a lot of money to manage water or to clean water or to manage flooding. Let's look at what nature can do for us. We're working up in the Marengo River watershed in northern Wisconsin near Ashland, town of Ashland and county of Ashland, where they experienced huge flooding disasters many years because of large rain events. Well, we can't stop the large rain events, but we can help make a landscape that is more resilient in the face of those downpours and that can manage that water better because so that they don't have to spend 75% of their budget rebuilding their roads every year. It's a waste of money if there's a better way to do it using nature as a tool.
Can you talk a little more about that?
Sure.
I mean, what you are doing?
Yeah. Well, we're working with a lot of partners up there to develop a methodology to assess the landscape of the flood erosional hazards. Where on those, using a lot of different data and bringing the perspectives of a lot of different people, including the roadway engineers, including the folks who come out and maintain the culverts, to understand where does the flooding happen, where is the erosional hazards, and then looking upstream of that to identify places where there might have been wetlands on the landscape historically that were drained or removed, and installing practices that can slow that down and reverse that trend. And we'll be doing some demonstration projects up there to show what that looks like on the ground. It's because we're not trying a Band-Aid approach. We're trying to do a very systemic, strategic approach to addressing the challenges up there. And then once we've got it figured out for that watershed, to work with other communities and show them what the opportunities are.
So the Band-Aids don't...
Band-Aids are going to get ripped off. And we know how much that hurts, right?
Yeah, it's too bad. And I love this approach. And you're hoping to be able to do this in other parts of the state then?
Absolutely, yep. Yeah. And we've also working in central Wisconsin along the Little Plover River where a sort of a different problem was happening. That river was running dry because there wasn't inputs coming in. And a lot of that had to do, there was a lot of finger pointing about whose fault it was. And honestly, working together, we've identified that everybody's playing a role and that working together, we can find solutions. We're doing some wetland restoration. We're helping farmers, find better ways to use the wetlands on their property for rotational grazing, for example. And we're seeing that benefit for the health of the river.
So if people want to get involved in, we've talked about the coffee breaks, the webinar series, which sounds great, and the conference coming up, and the swamp stakes, that sweepstakes. Jill and I are going to have to try and figure out a way to get involved in that one, too, to try and win that canoe. Where do they go and what do they do?
WisconsinWetlands.org is our website, and you should find links there to the swamp stakes, to the Wetland Coffee Break webinar series, and there's a link at the bottom of the page to the conference. We'll get that more prominent on the webpage as the conference approaches. That'll be in February.
Always a pleasure, Katie.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Katie Velfus is the Outreach Programs Director at the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. She's been doing this for about 15 years. She's been coming to the show, and just one of the many great programs I think that we have here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Here we are in our drive. I just want to mention to you that we hope and we count on you, actually, to keep these discussions on the air.
We do, because listener support is the largest piece of funding that makes this show and all the others that you enjoy possible. And that's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And this is the first day of our two-day special challenge. It's a group of generous members have given $25,000 in matching funds. Well, they haven't given it yet. They will give $25,000
in
matching funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs you count on.
That is key, Larry. We have to get 500 people. Otherwise, we don't get the $25,000. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
And here we are. We just went over. We're at 103 people. So we're moving in the right direction here. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before the end of the day tomorrow. And frankly, you should do it right now. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, you might as well do it. You know you're going to. So just go ahead and do it. And then you can listen to the rest of the week with ease. You know, on our show, and we cover topics like the environment, like today, and consumer issues, gardening, of course, on Friday, how-to topics. And we always try to put Wisconsin first, from the authors and books to food to history and you know, even sports, Larry.
Yeah. Well,
you get a lot of great advice on topics that impact your life and your community. And it's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Where else do you find that much information? So support this program and all the other programs that you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're looking for a more, shall we say, subtle way to show off your support for the programs you love, you can ask for the new WPR socks when you give $15 a month or more. They're navy and gold socks. The Argyle-inspired design. You know, my grandpa and my dad had Argyle socks, and I'm seeing actually my daughter. Mm-hmm. So that has come back.
Oh, you know what? I think Argyle is classic, and it never went away, Larry.
Well, I never had a pair until now.
Well, I'll
be getting mine in a few weeks. I made my extra contribution yesterday to get some socks, the WPR socks. And what about you? You love you could pair them on sandals. You can there's all kinds of ways you can wear those socks. You can put them on your arms and use them for mittens in case you run out of gloves.
Well, there you go. Absolutely, they're multifunctional socks.
Here's how you get them. You go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. I just gave the 15 times 12, 180, you know, and just
those
did
are
it
expensive socks for you, Larry. No,
those are some of the more expensive socks, but it's all to a good cause.
It is. You know, it doesn't matter, and it's just so cool to be able to wear those. I think I'm going to make a sock puppet out of mine. Get some of those googly eyes, you know. Every time you listen to WPR, you learn something new, like how to make a sock puppet, whether it's about the news or of the day or personal anecdote, history or pop culture. There's always something to spark your interest.
Listening to WPR reminds you that life is fascinating, I think, and learning makes life richer. And that kind of engagement you feel when you listen, that's worth your support, I think.
It is.
Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know, the world is constantly changing, and I think it just keeps changing faster than ever, and it's hard to keep up. And as a listener, you rely on WPR for daily news and information. I know I do.
Yeah, WPR members make this access possible. Today, you can invest in the programs you rely on, contribute $10 or $20 a month, keeps the news and conversations relevant and on the air for everybody to enjoy. Your gift, whatever the amount, makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name is Sue German. I live in Middleton, Wisconsin. I feel like I've got a real personal connection to Wisconsin Public Radio. I had a brother who passed away several years ago. He had some mental health issues, but he was an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening was a bright moment in his day. For that, I'm grateful. So great job. Thank you.
Well, Sue, thank you so much for that comment and for your support. What about you? You could give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. We keep saying it. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
It certainly does. And, you know, giving to WPR is easy. It's not going to take a lot of your time. And the gift amount of whatever you choose. So just say $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of great programs. Show your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And give as generously as you can.
Yeah, and I've heard, and I'm sure you have too, Larry, of people who have listened to the program and they've saved money. And so, you know, give some of the money you save back to us. That works out really well. And everyone should make a gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Yeah, that's what I'm shelling out, I think, for cable right now.
And
my phone plan. If you add those two together, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. So put a value on it, like all the other things that are important to you, and then make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't you wish, Larry, that you could decide on what your contribution to your cable was going to be? Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, that'd be really nice.
Well, you know, that's how we work here. So maybe you can pay the same amount that you do on a monthly service, you know. You figure it out, like HBO Max. I that's kind of expensive. Or cable, like you said, Larry, that's really expensive.
Or even your daily coffee, which, like WPR, is probably something you look forward to. Give now. You choose the amount. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution, and when you do, that you give the amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month, and some give $100 or more a month.
Whatever amount you give, it'll support the programs that enhance your life and give you information and entertainment every day. So give now. You know, we're going to be going away here in a few seconds. I hope you'll just really think hard about this. Whatever amount works for you, think about what that amount should be. And then just go ahead, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We are listener supported, and that means that your gift is really powerful. It really makes a difference. Think about that, then go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contributions. And thank you from Jill and Larry.